Thanks for listening to the Gate City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. For more information on our church or our 24/7 house of prayer, please visit gatecityatl.com. Now enjoy the message.
All right. Well, so we're in the middle of a series on understanding the end times, going through four parts of Jesus' teaching. We're doing several weeks on this. And if this is your first week here, part of this, good luck. It's going to be like drinking from a fire hose. I think you'll better grab stuff even today. So we're going over four parts of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 24 on the Olivet Discourse, where it's his main teaching on the end times. And we are dividing up into four sections. The first section is the beginning of birth pangs, which we did a couple weeks on that. And then starting last week, we started on the Great Tribulation. And then the third, which we'll get to, is the time period after the tribulation, and then it'll be followed by the age to come. So last week, if you guys were here, I shared on the Great Tribulation, and we kind of just read right through Matthew chapter 24, and mainly some of the difficult, or we could say negative, aspects of the Great Tribulation, which there are plenty to talk about. And so we went over things like the rise of the Antichrist, the false prophets, great falling away, abomination, desolation, things like that. And we shared kind of in detail about that last week. And so this week we're staying in the same subject related to the Great Tribulation, but I'm going to share the opposite side, which is the positive elements of the Great Tribulation. Now, that might sound like an oxymoron to some of you guys, kind of like talking about the cheerful events of D-Day or something. Like, it's like, how do you talk about positive elements of the Great Tribulation? It's called the Great Tribulation. It's decidedly negative, So how do you then, talk about the positives? Well, there are actually some really amazing things. And the reason why I'm sharing this is not just for us to have like a cheerleader moment where we're like, who's ready for the Great Trib? I'm not doing that, okay? It's more like to get us out of fatalism. This idea that, hey, things are just going to be so bad, like, what does it matter? We're all going to die anyway, and therefore either I'm not going to study it, or, I've just resigned myself. And what we find, it's interesting, in the body of Christ, there's two, ditches that we get in related to the Great Tribulation. One of them is this, is fatalism. It's this idea that the world's going to hell, just let them go. Hopefully we'll get out of here before anything bad happens. It's that version of it. So let's just kind of forget it, and let's don't worry about it. Or there's the opposite version, which is this idea of this like church that's completely taken over the entire earth, and we're Christianizing the earth before he comes back, and we're taking the seven mountains, and we're all this different stuff where it's so overly glamorous, and the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. There are some amazing things that God's going to do. I'll just say this way. It's going to be, for the church, it's going to be the greatest hour in our history. I'm like you. I don't really want to be here. I get that. There's a part of me that kind of goes like, man, if I could choose heart or comfort, I will choose comfort every single time. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like bent on like, man, I can't wait to suffer. I can't wait to get my head chopped off. It may draw you. It doesn't really draw me on the natural side. But let me just throw it this way. So this element of some of the suffering or the challenge we're going to go through may seem difficult, but there's, If let me say this way, if old you, like billion-year-old you on the sea of glass, could talk to young you right now, I don't think you would talk yourself out of suffering or challenges or risk. You would probably encourage you to make sure you make the journey of your life, the challenges, go through it with a good heart, and to endure and to persevere and to be crowned forever. You would encourage yourself to not shy away from struggle. You wouldn't just be telling yourself like, oh, you just need more breaks, more rest. You'd be like, no, press. Your time is short. So knowing that, obviously we can't feel that, but that's true. There's coming a day where you're going to have given everything you had in these final hours. And whether or not it actually happens in our generation, or maybe it's for our kids or our grandkids, we want to begin to prepare either way. I mean, the early church had an eschatological hope. They kept it right in front of them the entire time. How much more should we in this hour? And so we want to overcome fatalism. I want to just say this about the Great Tribulation. This is kind of a recap from last week. But what is the Great Tribulation? From God's perspective, it's this. It is the least severe means of judgment on the earth to bring the maximum amount of people into voluntary love. So again, it's the least severe means of God's judgments on the earth to bring the maximum amount of people into voluntary love, which tells us just how, if that's the least severe, and it's severe, where is the condition of the earth as we get closer to the end of the age? That God has to shake it that violently, and that's the least severe, in order to actually wake people up. So it's coming from a heart, though, from God's perspective, is he's tender. It seems overwhelming to us, but from his perspective, it's least severe. I'm really trying to take the Band-Aid off easily. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm not doing, he's gently do it. Yet it looks like, you know, seals, trumpets, and bulls. Okay. In Matthew chapter 24, and forgive us, we had some technical difficulties, and we don't have verses on the screen today. So you're going to have to actually read your Bible or your thumb thing. You know, you flip it, whatever it is you're doing. You'll need to actually follow along. Or I would really encourage you, we have notes. All of the stuff's in the notes. You could actually follow the notes, and you'll be right on track. Or you're just going to have to believe me when I start reading these verses that they're actually there. Which I could be deceiving you, so you never know. Matthew 24, verse 13 to 14, there's not a ton of, like, I would say, positive elements in the Olivet Discourse related to the Great Tribulation, okay? But there are a few, but we know from other verses in the Bible about things that are happening simultaneously that give context to what's going on the global picture, which, like I said, which would be the most glorious hour for the church. So Matthew 24, verse 13 and 14, says, "And he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So Jesus has promised that prior to his return, the gospel is going to have massive impact, okay? Obviously, it's had massive impact for 2,000 years, but there are nations right now where the gospel is completely closed off to. You cannot just walk into North Korea and just have a crusade, okay? There's coming a day, though, the power of God is going to begin to break down the walls inside North Korea. Which tells you, I mean, the shift in the power, because the relevancy of the gospel is going to start to increase because of the power that's upon it, all right? And right now, I mean, the church is mostly seen as irrelevant by the majority of the world. We have all of our issues and schisms and all the things we're going through. The gospel has been polluted with, you know, different types of hyper grace and prosperity and all this different stuff. But I'm telling you, there's coming a purity to the church. God's going to center us again. He's going to give us what Jesus said. He said, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world. Not just the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, but it's also the gospel of the coming kingdom. The eschatological narrative is going to get tied in a real way, and it's going to be preached throughout the entire world. But what is the scenario? How are we going to get there? How is the church going to have such power in culture? Like, what's the state of the church? And so what I want to do is I want to give five positive elements that I want to go through related to the Great Tribulation. And like I said, this is not to negate the difficulty and the sufferings that are coming. This is to give us hope and a vision that we can anchor to and we can start to believe. Like, guys, listen, this stuff is, you already believe that Jesus died and rose again. You already believe that. You believe that he sent his spirit into the earth so that we could be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. You already believe that. Like, let's go a next step. Let's believe he's coming back. And let's believe he's going to set up his kingdom. Let's believe there's going to be a great revival prior to the coming of the Lord, just as the Bible says. And let's anchor like the idea that this stuff just seems so sci-fi, it must not be real. Like you don't do that in other stuff. If I said, hey, did Moses actually turn the waters into blood? You go, yeah, absolutely. I go, do you believe the moon's going to turn to blood before the second coming? No way. That can't happen. What? They're both impossible. You believe that Jesus just died, you know, died, a man from heaven who came and died, rose again, now sitting at the right hand of God. You believe that. Well, then believe he's coming back to this earth to claim it as his kingdom. You're already full of faith. And so what we just think is just nominal. That takes an extreme amount of faith to believe that. And you have. So the five things we're going to talk about is this, is that there's going to be the increase of the bridal paradigm. So we'll talk about that in a second. The increase of the bridal paradigm as we get closer to the end of the age. There's going to be unsealed revelation. The end time understanding is going to increase. There's going to be supernatural protection and provision, which is the one you guys are all interested in. Right? You know, just skip all the other ones. Tell me that. How am I going to get rich in the end times? Okay. All right. So there's going to be a strengthening of the end time prayer movement. And then lastly, we're going to talk about there's going to be great harvest of souls and revival. So the first one, there's going to be the increase of the bridal paradigm. Revelation 19, verse 6 and 7. I'm going to read it. It says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, for his wife has made herself ready." There is coming a day soon when the testimony of heaven over the church is, she's ready. She's made herself ready. Now, obviously, this is talking about the global church from all of human history standing before the marriage supper of the Lamb, but it's also true of the hour in which this thing's being prophesied, which is in context when the Babylon falls, and the testimony of the church there that's about to celebrate is that she has made herself white, she has made herself ready. Can you imagine what kind of transformation we're about to go through for it to be said from heaven's perspective, the church is now ready? We're not anywhere close to being ready right now. I'm just saying, you go. We are so full of, we're so worried about in churches who's biggest, best, and first, and I mean, we in pride and egos and all the stuff that we're dealing with, and immorality and all that is just infested in the church. But there's coming a day where all that's going to shift. God's not going to leave us as we are. He's going to change the understanding and the expression of Christianity. And there's going to be a new testimony of the church as she's a prepared bride. She's pure. She's been made white. It's the Daniel 11. It says there many are going to fall. Some are going to fall to captivity, plundering, sword. Why? So that he would purify the many. God is going to use the difficulties and the trials, the crucible and the fire of the great tribulation to bring the impurities out of us. And we're going to come out of this thing white and ready. The addictions you're dealing with right now, you're not going to always deal with these things. The bondages that the church is in. I'm telling you guys, they're like what we're currently fighting about, you know, it's like it's not even going to be on the table anymore. I was thinking about this, like, you know, to whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There, whatever it is that you're bound with and you're dealing with right now, there's coming a day where you won't deal with it in the same way. I remember when I had a 15-year addiction to pornography. This is even after I got saved, and I couldn't get out of it. I didn't know how to get out of it. I was tormented in my soul. And I remember one day I'm sitting down with Billy, and he looks at me and he says, "Jamie," he goes, "I believe there's coming a day where you'll never touch it again." And that was over 15 years ago. And the Lord's completely delivered me. And I can testify there's something that shifted in my soul where I never thought I could get free. All of a sudden, the Lord has done it. And I'm telling you, it's just like this. Whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever your issue is, that thing can, by the power of the Lamb, can become just as unattractive as the most hideous sin to you. You know, if the enemy showed up at your door and says, "Hey, you want to smoke crack?" You'd be like, "No." I mean, I know for some people that could be a challenge, but for most of us in here, that's like not on the option of even temptation. You know what I mean? It's like, I figured you'd be a little more tempting, but. And you say no, but then there's other enemies, so to speak, that are more challenging. And I'm telling you, in Christ, there's a way where that enemy can be just as unappealing as the guy showing up saying, "Do you want crack cocaine?" That's what being free by the blood of Jesus looks like. It's coming a day where she's going to be made ready. She's going to be made whole, but she's going to get it because of this revelation, she's a bride. There's something about the bridal paradigm, knowing him as a husband and us as his wife. And I get it. If you're a dude here, that may be a little challenging. For me, I never was like, "I can't wait to put the dress on." But there's something about his heart. And when you catch that, it actually has the ability to begin to set us free. It says in Hosea, it says in the last day, it says, "You will no longer call me my master, but you will call me my husband. You will call me your husband." And that's where we're going. Song of Solomon 8 talks about, says at the end of the whole thing, says he says, "Who is this one, this bride, who's coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" Like, the posture that we're going to go to is this embracing, leaning, like we can't do it ourselves, but we've completely leaned into our husband. and dependency. In fact, this is interesting. Song of Solomon, which I get it, for most of us, those pages are probably still stuck together, you know, when we open our Bible. But Song of Solomon chapter 4, it's really interesting. I think it's verse 16. She says, she's come through this time of trial and purification with the Lord. And it's a picture of even like the end time church, the purification we're going to come through. And she says in verse 16, when she comes out of it, she says, "Come, O south winds, and blow, O north winds, upon my garden, that my spices may come forth." And she's talking about how in Israel the south winds were the breezy, you know, warm winds, pleasant winds that would come from the south, and they would, you know, blow upon the gardens. And he says, but the north winds were those bitter, cold, difficult winds. And she's speaking about, like, she's saying to the Lord, like, bring whatever I need to grow in maturity. So I need, there's a right amount of both hardship and positivity of good things I need for me to actually come forth in maturity. That's a real sign of a mature bride. It says, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever I need, both good and bad, for me to actually come forth. You and I are not like that. I would, if I wrote that, it'd be like, "Come, O south winds, and blow, O south winds, more south winds." I would just be, that's all. I would never say north, never. You wouldn't either. Why would you? But maturity is like, no, there's actually some challenges that we need to actually cause us to grow. I know you think you're different. I'm always like, Lord, I seriously, I'm way better without you. When I'm comfortable, I seek you more. I really do, Lord. He's like, because I've heard this before. It's not how it works. And what happens is she goes through this, and then chapter 5, the very next chapter, she goes through what we call the dark night of the soul. And it's this difficult season where she feels abandoned and you know, she gets beaten. I mean, it's a rough season. It's challenging. But in the midst of it, because of that cry of maturity, she's able to come out, and she's actually lovesick for her husband. And she is actually stays steady and faithful even through the midst of trials. And when the Lord appears to her, comes back to her in chapter 6, when he first sees her, he looks at her and he says, "You are beautiful, my love." He goes, "You are as beautiful as Tirzah, the capital city of the north. You are as amazing as Jerusalem, the capital city of the south." He says, "You're as beautiful as an army with banners," like when they would come back from victory carrying their victory flags. And he looks at her and he goes, "Turn your eyes from me, for they have overcome me." And then he says, "Your hair is like a flock of goats." Anyway, which I always resonated with that. But what is he saying? He's saying, listen, he goes, when I look at my bride who's come through a very difficult time, she stays faithful and true to the very end. He looks at her and he goes, "This overwhelms me." He goes, "When you look at me," he actually says, "turn your eyes from me," because it's overcoming me. I mean, the King of Kings, not one demon in hell can overcome him. Yet your little look, when you stay faithful through trial and you look up at him, he looks at you and he goes, time out. He's like, you know, it's too much. That's how he is. That's how his heart is. I'm telling you, there's something about that catching his heart that's actually going to make us ready. It's going to get us prepared. We love him because he first loved us. It's the revelation of his kindness and tenderness towards us that actually will produce radical love back towards him. Number two, we're going to see end time revelation unsealed. All right, so follow me here. Daniel chapter 12. The angel is showing Daniel information related to the end of the age. In chapter 1, he says, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, the prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since the history of a nation, even to that time." And he says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and others to everlasting contempt." He goes, "But those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, like stars forever and ever." So he's actually detailing a time period of the great tribulation that's going to end with the resurrection of the dead. And he says, and then he's watching this information. And then verse four, the very next verse, the angel says to Daniel, he says, "Now, Daniel, go your way." He goes, "For the books are sealed. They're closed up until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." It's Daniel 12, verse 4. It's interesting. He actually says that there's information about the end times that the angel says, Daniel, go your way. He goes, that information, he goes, has been sealed up. It's closed for now. In other words, God's not revealing it, but good news, he is going to reveal it. How do I know? Because he says it's closed up until the time of the end. If I tell you, don't eat a hamburger till 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, guess what you get to do? Eat a hamburger. If I say it's sealed up until the time of the end, guess what happens at the time of the end? It's going to be unsealed. And what does he say? He says, for many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And I used to preach this. It's a fun preaching point, but I used to think that I was talking about the signs of the times, like meaning running to and fro meant like increase of travel. Like, you know, back in the day, they used to, how do we used to get around? You know, we used to walk. You guys remember walking? Right? And then eventually somebody saw a horse, you know, it was like, hey, you know, and then they drew a circle and then they were like wheel and they were like, ooh, you know, and they put it together and they've got a horse and buggy. Okay. That's how people traveled for like 6,000, like 6,000 years. That's how we did it, you know, walking, horse and buggy. And then all of a sudden, you know, this past century, we flew to the moon. There was a sharp increase somewhere along the line. Okay. Real recent. There's also the increase of understanding, right? And so we think Google and all the different things that are available. However, I think that verse is not, in context may not be what that's talking about. The Septuagint actually reads it this way. It says, until many are taught and revelation is increased. In other words, that God is holding back some of the information related to the end times, the understanding of it, until the broader body of saints actually catches up in their revelation of what he's already revealed. This is one of the reasons why I think it's so important that we begin to teach on these things. We begin to train each other in this, and we begin to, as a body, begin to get understanding. The Bible is real clear, Daniel 11, that the people of understanding are going to lead many. Like, who is that? That's the church. Somebody's going to have something to say when this stuff is going down, and they're going to be able to lead many people. And it's not going to happen in the great, you're not all of a sudden in the great tribulation just going to know it all, okay? It's going to be about getting history oil prior to, so that you actually have something to say when the things begin to shake. And so I believe this. I believe this is what the Lord is raising up in this hour, right now. I didn't share this in the first service. I'll share this story. In 2003, I had the most powerful encounter of my life, I can't give the whole backstory, but it started off on July 12th, 2003, and I have a dream. I'm at my old house, my parents' house, And my dad at that time was in the hospital, my parents are actually here, she was in the hospital. We were staying at home that night, and I have a dream. And in my dream, I'm on the east wing of the church, and I'm on an elevator. I'm coming up off the elevator, and the door opens, and I walk through the lobby, and I see a crowd of people as far as I can see. But the whole room is just filled with people, and I'm trying to get to the sanctuary, and so I'm like, excuse me, and I'm trying to get through, and there's a man standing near the water fountain, and he's actually speaking to the entire crowd of a lot of young folks there, but it was mixed ages as well, just a ton of people, and he's talking, but when he's talking, he's not talking like I'm talking. He didn't have a microphone, but his volume on his voice was so loud that the building was shaking as he talked. But he wasn't talking with the microphone. And I get halfway through the crowd, and all of a sudden he goes, "You!" And I was like, and I startled, and I looked at him. We're all looking at him. And he goes, "You are a gatekeeper." And in the dream, I go, "Yes." And he goes, "The Lord is going to reveal this through Daniel chapter 9 and Acts chapter 2. And in the dream, I go, "I agree with you." It was weird, though. In like real life, I never even read Daniel 9. Like, I had no idea what that said. But in the dream, I'm like, oh, yeah, it totally makes sense. And I was like, yes. And then I was turning to walk away from him towards the sanctuary, and from behind me, he says over the whole crowd, he says, "But first, you must see it," like that. And when he says, I watched the whole building shake, the glass, and he said it so loud, "You must see it. It was, I've never had this happen before. I went from being dead asleep in my dream, and to a split second, I'm suddenly wide awake in my bed. It was like the way he said it was so loud that it woke me up. It was like, see it. That kind of feeling. So I go, see it, and I wake up, and I'm startled in my room. And, of course, my brain's not working. I'm like, what was that? I'm watching my fan go around, and I'm like, what was that? I hear the noise, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, and listen, I am not a feeler. I'm just not. I mean, I'm one of those guys like Pentecostal. You ever been to the prayer lines? You know what I'm saying? Like, you could tell who's going to fall. I'm not that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the guy they ask to catch that guy all the time, you know? And so people come and pray for me, and it's just like, you know, I just get it's just bad breath. Sometimes I'll fall out just so I don't have to deal with that. But anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I'm laying there. All of a sudden, the presence of God steps in my room in a way that I cannot describe to this day, how it was so intense that I started moaning. I was like, and I start shaking. And I'm like, I start grabbing some pillows, pookies, everything. I just, and I didn't know what was going on. And then right then, out loud in my room, not a vision, not a dream, with my ears, I hear singing break into my room. Like a hall of, I don't know how you describe it, it's like a hall of monks. They were like, I was like echoey. I was like, and I can't move. I don't know if you've ever been scared where you don't feel like you can move. That's how I was going. I was going, and it's sitting there, and I hear it gets louder and louder. I feel all the hairs, you know, stand up. I don't have a hairy back beat. If I had one, it probably stood up. And I'm like, and I can't move. And then right then I hear the singing. And then I watch out of my left side. I had a giant glass window right there. I watch. It looked like somebody took a picture, went, and I saw a flash like that. And it caught my eye, and I turned and I look. It's 5:30 in the morning, so it's dark. And it goes, flash. And I look over, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden it goes, flash, 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 just like that, like somebody's taking photos. And then right then, I'm just like this, and I'm watching. And I watch with my eyes. I'm not in a dream. I watch as an angel comes flying through my window, doesn't break the window, comes right through, and he lands right over the edge of my bed. Like I said, I've never had this happen before. I don't know what you would have done. I was like, it was horrifying. I sat there, and he's at my feet, so I'm laying like this. He's right there, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm like, y'all are like, you're like, what do you look like? I'm like, I didn't really great. I was doing this. I was going, you know, I wasn't like, well, he had flowing blonde hair, sword protruding from his right hand side. I didn't get all that. All I saw was this glowing blue man, somewhat see-through, and had electricity lines. Like, you ever been to the mall where you touch those little balls and the electricity runs to your fingers? It was like just like that, and it was running all through him. And the music's playing in the background. And I am undone. I'm like, all I can think was, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead, I died, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. I thought he was here to get me, and, you know, I don't know, pearly gates. I didn't know how this all works, you know. And I just, that's the only thing I can think of. And he stays for a second, doesn't say anything to me. It's just the singing. And then he goes, and I see the flashes of light go again. And then he goes right out my other window. I had a second window that was by my lamp, above my lamp. He goes right out. And I'm sitting there, and it goes dark for a second, and then it goes bright white again, like coming through the window. And then I hear the Lord or the angel or somebody says, come and see. Now, I know you would have done it. I never made it over there. I was terrified. I just like, and I waited until it left, and eventually left. And then I eventually got myself together, and I fell over the edge of the bed. And then I looked out, and it was dark again. Nothing's out there. My mom was home. She can testify to this, that I crawled, 23 years old, I crawled down the steps to my mommy's room. And she can tell you, when I walked in the door, I would go, Mom! And she, of course, she's super mom. She jumps out of bed like a cape comes out, you know. She grabs me. And she puts me on the bed, and she's like, what's going on? She's trying to, have you ever been crying so hard you can't speak? You ever done that where you're like, you can't get your breath? I can't tell her what's going on. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, and so I'm trying to explain. It's not really working. Finally, after several, okay, and this was so weird. I didn't know why you were doing this. You kept throwing blankets on me. You remember that? You were like, I'm sitting there. I'm trying to talk to you. And you keep throwing all these blankets on me. And you're wrapping me. And I'm like cocooned up. And I'm like, and I'm sweating. I'm like, wow. I'm like, but I can't tell her. It was so weird. And so long story, she'll tell you that afterwards, she said that I was freezing cold. My whole body had gone frozen. I had blue lips, like purple lips, and I was going into like shock. And she's warming me up. And after a little while, I finally tell her. I said, she goes, what? I said, I had an angel come in the room. And I remember she looked at me, just seeing what was going on. She goes, I believe you. And then she said, why don't you go back upstairs and pray and ask the Lord to show you what that was? And I was like, what if he comes back? And I was that guy, I always thought, man, if the angel showed up, you know what I mean? I'd be like, give me the triple portion. Bump the double. But when this angel, I don't know, he's probably a small angel. I don't know, you know, he shows up and I'm undone. And I don't want to be found praying for like 2 weeks by myself. But here, this is a fun story. It's interesting. It was terrifying in the moment. But he said to me, he said, he had a whole company of people, and he says, I'm giving you a window of time to come and see, come and get understanding. And he wasn't just saying it to me, he was saying it to the whole community. And I believe, man, we're in the hour right now where God is beginning to raise up those who will come and see. It means come and get understanding. People of understanding, which means like Daniel, we've got to be able to hear it, we got to consume it, we got to consider the matter. We got to actually start reading this stuff. Listen, it's not enough to be passionate about the Bible. You got to read the Bible. In America, man, we will fight over the Bible. I will fight you to the death over the Bible. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I will stand that ground. I will give my life for it. Do you ever read the Bible? No! Like, it's just not enough. We've got to actually read them. We got to get in the scriptures. We got to get in studies. We got to start talking about this stuff. Listen, it's not that hard. It may seem overwhelming. I didn't understand any of this stuff. I was completely clueless. But you just stay with it for a minute. I mean, just a minute. And you make it a priority. Make it a passion. And in a minute, you'll be walking around talking about the abomination of desolation. So, the abomination of desolation. And it, all of a sudden, it starts coming alive to you. We can get this. You already believe so much. Let's go to the next step. This is what's on his agenda. This is the gospel of the kingdom that's coming. Thank you. It's going to get unsealed. Next one, there's going to be supernatural provision and protection. You're like, ooh, tell me about that. God's good. Listen, just like it was in the land of Goshen. In the days of Egypt, when the plagues were coming down, God preserved areas, locations, where there was supernatural provision and protection during that time. The Lord's going to raise up his Josephs here. Some of you guys are in business. You're never going to be in full-time ministry. You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be a businessman. You're supposed to be a businesswoman. But you are no less called to the ministry. Ephesians 4, it's the fivefold ministry. It says it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not the equipping of the fivefold ministry for the work of the ministry. Their only job is to help us to actually do the full-time ministry. So you may be a lawyer or a grocery bagger. I don't know what you do. You know what I'm saying? You, whatever it is you do, that's the area of the influence God's given you. You need to begin to see this because there's going to be some of you guys that God's going to raise up to help provide for so many in the times of trouble. And you're going to be a pastor to so many people that will never come to the church. He's going to have places of provision. Protection. During the time when the mark of the beast is being in place where you can't buy or sell anything, the Lord is going to supernaturally provide for his church in amazing ways. Now listen, we are not guaranteed to be delivered from the hands of the Antichrist. It says we're given into his hands for a time, times and a half a time, 3.5 years. Many of us are going to be put to death and martyred. We talked a little bit about that last week. That is the absolute truth. But we're not the target of God's judgments. In other words, it doesn't mean we're not affected by God's judgments. We're not the bullseye target on that. Example, was Lot the target of God's judgment at Sodom and Gomorrah? No. Was Lot massively affected by the judgment at Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah. He lost his business. He lost his home. His wife turned to salt. His kids, you know, whatever happened out there in the wilderness, we won't talk about. Right? That changes things for you, you know, on your life, you know, your trajectory. It's going to be the same way. We got to get prepared. Though we're not, in other words, God's not trying to like hit the Christian church with the earthquake. There is going to be massive, and listen, the Lord's going to have protection. It says in Revelation 9, talks about the demons that are going to be released to torment people. It says they won't be able to torment anyone who has the mark of God, the seal of God. And that's in that context, that's bigger than just talking about the 144,000. It's talking about the sealed saints of the church across the globe. There's a lot of verses about God actually protecting us during this time, and that's going to happen. That's good news. However, we, like I said, we will be given into the hands of the Antichrist to be tormented. But martyrdom is not a judgment. It is a reward forever. We talked about it last week. You're going to die anyway, most likely. Right? So if you go out as a martyr, you're going to be crowned forever. Okay. There's going to be great revival released. Great revival. I don't want to get a revival yet. I'll skip to page. Talking about the increase of a prayer movement. Now, obviously, we're in an environment that does 24/7 prayer. We talk a lot about things like prayer movement, but this it's bigger than the house of prayer. It's bigger. There's actually a global movement that's happening across the earth. It's only going to get stronger as we get closer to the end of the age. We've talked a lot about in past services. Isaiah 62, he says, I'm going to set watchmen on your walls, and they're going to cry out day and night. He goes, until Jerusalem's appraised in the earth. And there's until that millennial time period. Before that time period, God's going to set night and day intercession on the walls. We're watching this take place. Revelation chapter 5 talks about at the throne of God, when John's up there, he sees these bowls, and they're full of incense. Okay? Picture, bowls full of incense. And he basically says, what are those? And the angel says, the incense are the prayers of the saints. And he says, and they're full. We're hitting the climax of human history. All the intercessions from all the saints of human history are going to actually begin to tip those bowls. They're going to get to their fullness at the end of the age. But then in Revelation 8, he sees seven angels, and they're standing before God, and they each have them have a trumpet. And it says, and there was silence in heaven for a half an hour. You ever heard anybody tell you that there's no time in heaven? How do we know? Because there was somebody out there who goes, yeah, it's been about a half an hour. Silence in heaven for a half an hour. And all of a sudden the angels got to blow. And it says right then that another angel comes out. And it says he was given at that time much incense. Remember, he said incense are the prayers of the saints. It says much incense to add with the prayers of the saints on the bowls. In other words, it speaks of an escalation at that time of intercession and prayer that's happening in a short hour of human history. It's a download of intercession and prayer being added with all the historic prayers of the saints. Now, listen, I don't know how the Lord does it, guys, because it says when he does this, he's then going to release the trumpet judgments, which is going to end with the seventh trumpet, the second coming of Christ. Like, the Lord is the one, he's the accountant, you're in college, you're praying, God, give me a girlfriend. And he's like, I'll take that. And he puts it in the bowl. And then he judges the Antichrist. I don't know how the math works out, but it works. You know, most of us, like, when we're trying to pray, right? You're like, I don't even know what to pray. And you get around some of these people at the house of prayer, and they're all like, Lord, touch the people in Africa. And you're like, Lord, I don't want to be broke. I don't like being depressed. Like, we don't know how to pray. It all counts. I'm telling you, the Lord puts it all in the pot. It's stewing in there. He'll work the details out. Just pray. It's coming a great prayer movement that's going to. Let me say it this way. Well, I'm going to say this. So Daniel chapter 10 through 12. It's one of my favorite passages in the scriptures in the Bible. It's actually one prophecy. And in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is at a river there in Persia. And he's praying. We know the story. He's praying 21 days. Why is he praying? He goes, I'm praying related to the earlier visions I was given in Daniel 8 and 9. And then he goes, I wanted to have understanding of the end times and these visions that were given. So in chapter 21, he's praying and fasting 21 days. He's not by himself, though. A lot of times this is missed. He's actually with a whole company of people that are praying and fasting. Why is that important? Yes, Daniel's the one that's given the vision, but it's actually the corporate community that's coming together for prayer and fasting that gets the breakthrough. So Daniel's praying. And it says this, it says that as he's praying, all of a sudden a mighty angel appears to him, and Daniel, he's undone. He goes, I can't speak, I can't stand. He goes, I need your help. The angel touches him, gives him the strength to stand, and he stands up, and the angel says, do you know why I've come to you? And and Daniel's like, why have you come? And he says, well, on the first day that you began to pray, he goes, the answer was dispatched from the throne. God gave you the answer. He actually sent the answer to your prayer on day one. So if you're like me, you're kind of going like, well, dude, it's like 3 weeks later, man. Like, how far of a trip was it? You know what I mean? Like, really? You know, what did you, like, come down in an elevator? You know, 1,500 miles or whatever far it is. You know, like, what happened? So he goes, I was held up. He goes, by a principality, demonic principality that reigns over the Persian Empire. And he fought me from keeping this revelation to you. But because you kept praying and because your community kept interceding and fasting, you have given me breakthrough. This is what spiritual warfare is, breakthrough. Now I have come forward to give you understanding. There is something about the endurance aspect of spiritual warfare that actually causes breakthrough in the heavenly realms. He's actually laying out a theology of intercession that breaks principalities. And it's through the intercession on the church. That's actually the theology he plays out, that the intercession on the earth, because what happens is, he says, now that I've come forth, I'm going to go back and fight and finish off the prince of Persia, and the prince of Greece is going to come. And what happens is, when the principality over the Persian Empire is broken, it ultimately manifests in the fall of the Persian kingdom. You ever heard history belongs to the intercessor? It's the reality that when the intercessors pray, all of a sudden it shifts the natural kingdoms on the earth. And this is what's ultimately going to happen in mass at the end of the age. The prayer movement on the earth, the bowls are going to fill. They're going to begin to tip. He's going to add much incense, and it's going to release judgment on the Antichrist empire. So Revelation chapter, Daniel chapter 10 through 12, he says, and at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was in the history of the nation until that time. He's talking about the Great Tribulation. Revelation chapter 12 shows the exact same event when Michael goes to war against Satan and all of his angels under the authority of Jesus. And it talks about, and this is actually a context, it's about the end of the age at the time of the abomination desolation, which starts the Great Tribulation. It says that Michael will go to war and there will be no place found in heaven any longer for Satan and his angels. So, how many of you guys ever heard of the third heavens? All four of you, good. Third heaven. Paul said, I know a man who was caught up to the third heavens. He's talking about when he went to the New Jerusalem, right? Then we have the first heavens. It's what Genesis talks about. It's the expanse above the ground up to the cosmos. So if there's a first heavens and there's a third heavens, guess what, scholars? There's got to be a second one. Just math tells you that, okay? Well, this is what the Bible talks about, how we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Where? In heavenly places. Satan is the prince and power of the air. In other words, he has governmental control over regions and locations that are under his authority, and it was exactly what Daniel was running into. When he began to pray, they began to get resistance over the demonic principalities over that area, and it took a delay for the answer of prayers to come. What Revelation 12 says is that through the intercession of the church, what Daniel laid out, is going to result in a chain reaction that's going to break Satan's authority over the second heaven realms. He's going to be cast to the earth. He's going to embody the man Antichrist. His only option at that time will be to kill every saint because he's lost his governmental authority in the second heaven realms. And this is what it says in Revelation chapter 12. It says, when this happens, it says, where's my verse at? I got it somewhere in here. All right. Ah. Oh, here it is. It says this, verse 7, you got to believe me. It says, chapter 12 says, and the war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth. This is when he goes out to make war through the Antichrist. And his angels were cast out with them. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven. Listen, we said when this event happens, when Satan falls out of the second heaven realms, this is what the testimony is going to happen over the earth. It says, now I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them for our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives even to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heaven, you dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows his time is short. The Great Tribulation, listen to me, is a period of a global open heaven where we're no longer having to pray and wait 21 days for the breakthrough. When you begin to pray for healing, this is why it says that the two witnesses, it says when they said they will call down plagues as often as they desire. Can you imagine having that kind of authority? We would screw that up big time. We're waiting too long in line at the fast food joint. We're like, earth, swallow them, blah, blah, you know, and we would just go right to the front. And the Lord knows that. And so he's actually, in his kindness, has withheld power from us. Like we haven't operated yet in the John 12, 14 and 19, where it talks about greater works shall they do who believe in me. But not, we haven't ever even seen, can you even think of a greater work than Jesus did? It's hard to even, but he prophesied it will happen. And the church is going to enter into this, man. This is our future. God, listen, this is not sci-fi. This is like, we got to get our mind around this. Like, this is where we're going. And I get it. You're like sitting here going like, man, I'm just trying to figure out how to like pay my bills and like, you know, clean diapers and I just make ends meet. And I get it. I think that's where we're at. And keep doing that. But we've got a glorious hour coming as a community, which means we're probably all about to go through a really intense internship to get trained for this. because we can't handle it. Man, I can't, last week I preached here and I had all these people coming up to me like, that was so amazing. You did so amazing. And I'm in my heart, I'm like, oh, it was the Lord. And then yet internally I'm dealing with pride going like, yeah, I am pretty amazing. You know, it's just, like, that's where we're at. And I'm trying to like figure out like how to like just, like that stuff will kill you in a minute. You know, it's like the example, but it's like, yeah, like imagine like you're in the ring or whatever, you know, the bull, whatever, like the bull, you know, like you get away from the bull by cheers, but they also cheer when the bull stabs you. Right? We can't live for the praise of the crowd. Anyway, God's going to do this. There's going to be a global open heaven, a great revival. When I say revival, guys, I want to give a vision for revival. This is not like where you go by and you look at the church sign and it says revival and it has a date on it, you know, April 14th through the 7th. And what they mean is there's going to be an extra song and some chicken afterwards. This is like, man, stuff that changes culture and shifts nations. And like I mean, I remember when the Brownsville revival broke. That's where I got saved at, down in Pensacola, Florida. And I remember the strip club across the street closed down because they all got saved. And I mean, they're like the power encounters that were happening. You know, I can remember people like getting hit by the power of God and they would shake for hours. They go to the restaurant shaking under the power of God. People would fall out I remember that one guy fell out under the Spirit. He fell out in the parking lot and he was like a 400-pound man. Nobody could move him. They had to go get all these orange cones and put around him in direct traffic. Like, I don't know where I get this stuff from. That's actually a true story. There's the power of God begins to get released in such a way, such a heightened way where there's signs and wonders and miracles. There's miracles that we didn't even know to ask for. You know, like the things that happen, you go, man, I didn't even know that was an option in the kingdom that we could ask for that. I was in the Acts chapter 2 prophecy. In the last day, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. Upon my midservants, upon my maidservants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And I'll show signs in the heavens and wonders on the earth, blood, fire, and vapor, smoke, and all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That prophecy, yes, it started at Pentecost, but the fulfillment of it is in the end of the age. When the blood, the fire, the vapor of smoke, in fact, none of those things happened on the day of Pentecost. There was nobody having dreams that day. Nobody talks, that didn't happen. Sun shall be turned dark. And he actually says it will happen before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. I'm telling you, the greatest revival in human history is sitting in front of us. The church is getting ready. Yes, there's a coming, a great falling away, but there is coming a great harvest of souls. Over 1 billion youth are going to come in this end time harvest. This is our hour, man. Like, I don't want to miss this hour because I'm afraid of the great tribulation. I want to get ready, man. I want to have something to say. I got to start studying this stuff. Guys, you got to start studying this stuff. You got to start looking at it, which means you're going to have to take time in it. You're going to have to open it up. You're going to read it. You're going to get the book of Revelation. And you're going to figure out, you know what? Everything I found in the kingdom, you got to be willing to do it badly first before you'll get to start doing it well. I'll never forget the time me and Billy, years ago, we were like wanting to start prophesying more, wanting to go prophesy. We were like wanting to get accurate words of knowledge. And so we were like, let's do this. And we drove downtown Atlanta and we just got out and we started prophesying to people. And we were 0-57. We missed every single one of them. I look at the guy, I'd be like, see, the Lord says your name's Eugene. And he's like, it's Tyrone. I'm like, didn't see that coming. You know a Eugene. And he's like, yeah. And we did. We missed every single one of them. And I tell you, I think it was the Lord. It's like we had to be willing to go and be embarrassed and do it poorly to show that if we would be faithful to actually do it. The Lord is not just going to entrust great power with everybody. If you're not, and it's that way with everything in the kingdom. And I remember a couple weeks later, all of a sudden we were at a restaurant at TGI Fridays, and all of a sudden the Spirit of Prophecy comes on Billy, and he starts reading this girl's mail up and down. I'm like, I mean, accurate words of knowledge. And it was like because we were just trying to be faithful, even in the poor. And we've got to be willing to do that. Like, you may not understand. Listen, I didn't understand the end times. I didn't understand any of it. And I just started reading it. And I had a pen and I would just start writing, underlining anything I thought was end times in green. That's what I did. I probably missed half of them or more than that. You know what I mean? But I just would start doing, I start reading, I start connecting dots and I just started reading the Bible and all of a sudden the storyline started making sense. Not immediately, but over a year started making sense. And that's where we've got to go. And you can do this, guys. You will be an expert on whatever you're passionate about. Listen, you have right now as much of the Holy Spirit as you want. If you don't have very much going on, it's only because you didn't want it. Because he's not holding back on us. He'll give it to us. He'll give it without measure. We need to be a people of revelation, a people of understanding right now. Because there's a great harvest coming. And God's getting a people ready. And it's going to be little you's, little me's. We're not going to be intimidated by each other's gifts. We're going to be thankful for whatever however he's placed you in the body. And God's going to use us. You already believe it. You already believe so much. Let's just take this next step. Let's start believing this, and let's seek this stuff out. Let's stand real quick. God, I believe, Lord, that word, Lord, you said, come and see. Come and get understanding. Lord, we need that. We don't have that, Lord. We don't even know how to get it, Lord, unless you give. But Lord, there's a posture, a heart, Lord, says, Lord, don't pass me by. Look upon me, God. Lord, we want a spirit of revelation on us, Lord. We don't want to be dull, Lord. This is not just for those that teach or those in the fivefold, Lord. It's the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry until we come to the unity of the faith. So, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would, Lord, put on our whole community, God, a desire for the understanding of the end times. Lord, to stay with it and to read this stuff and to believe these things and to give ourselves, Lord, to hours in the Word of God. We have a prayer room here. It's here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've got the time to make it somewhere. You can be here. You can sit before the Lord. Open your Bible and ask the Lord to speak to you. There are teachings out there to listen to and to gain understanding. It's where it starts. It's little by little. It's precept by precept. Just staying before it, letting it burn on your heart. And the days will pass, and the weeks will pass, and the months will pass, and you will begin to gain understanding. I just want to give a call for anyone as I'm sharing, you just feel like your insides are just like, ugh, they're coming unglued. And it's only because the Holy Spirit's bearing witness. It's like the deep parts of God is bearing witness to the deep part of your soul. And this is who you are. You're called to be an end time messenger, and it may not look like a platform or whatever you think it may look. It may not look very different, but it's something you're called to, and you know it is to be true, and you want to become a man or a woman of understanding and revelation. You want to gain insight in this hour prior to the time of great shakings that are coming. Whether it's in your business or your job or your ministry or whatever the Lord's called you to, you want to get deeper wells inside of you, deeper revelation, so that you have something to say. You can actually lead people. So, Father, I ask you right now. So if that's you, listen, this is probably a broad altar call, but I just want those that are actually feeling stirred in your soul saying, Lord, that's me, and I want revelation. I want you to open up those wells in me that I can get understanding at the end of the age. Be a man or woman of understanding. Believe for the great harvest that's coming. I want to get ready, prepared. Father, I ask, Lord, release it on us, God, on a whole company of us, Lord. Lord, make Gate City, Father, a gatekeeping community. Lord, we would come and see. Lord, we come and understand in this hour, Lord. I pray for each one of us, Lord. I saw all those men and women there. I believe there are even many here, God, that are called to be gatekeepers in Atlanta, God, to understand the end times and to be able to give revelation. I pray, God, for this window of time you've given us, Lord, before the shakings happen, God, to come now and to sit at your feet and to burn, Lord, and to understand. And I just ask, God, right now, Lord, you would put that all on us, Lord, that we would, Father, give ourselves to this. As you're there, just you talk to Jesus far better than listen to me. You talk to him and seal it in your own heart for him, with him. Fill us. Like Daniel, God, fill us. Lord, give us skill to understand. Give us skill to understand, God, I ask. It's not just for the mighty, Lord. It's for all of us. remove every obstacle. Make us a ready bride.